Yeah.
Welcome to Free Fire Saturday. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Saturday is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402, and what a week it's been. As you know, we're doing a show Monday through Wednesday, except now we're doing it Tuesday and Wednesday because of the political personalities. People running for city council are now taking parts of the week and to get their time in to talk to you. It's going to be real interesting because there's going to be a time when you're going to be able to see almost all the candidates in one spot. And we're going to talk about that later. But first, I want to introduce the crew here. Joined, of course, by our producer today is Heather. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine. And unlike Kelly Frost Jr., you're not the card-carrying, wild and eyed environmentalist that he is.
No, not exactly.
How'd you like the rodeo last night?
It was a lot of fun. It was my first time going, but I got to see the cowboys throw the rope around the little calves, and then they tie their legs together.
A little calf rope in there, huh?
Mm-hmm. It was cool.
It's cool. Something new. Okay, and then, of course, I'm joined by my partner in crime and life, Linda Bott.
Good morning. Okay, here we go. Am I on?
You're on.
Really? Okay. Well, good morning. And I personally, my favorite parts of the rodeo are...
There we are. Good morning.
Well, you know, we have microphones that go up and down in here. And we said the best part about the show is finding out which one that works.
Exactly.
And we're running around here in the morning going, you know, tapping microphones.
I like the bull riding.
Is this working?
I like the bull riding. And, Carl, I remember when I first met you and I started to date you, you said that you used to ride bulls.
I rode bulls.
Boy, I got a real cowboy on my hand.
When I was much younger, I rode bulls. And it didn't take me long to figure out this is not something that I wanted to do the rest of my life. Because it could have been the rest of my life in 8 seconds. But it's quite the time there. We're going to continue our show on Wednesday. We had Richard Merriman, and Richard's back today. We were talking nuclear power and, you know, the generating of energy and safety concerns and some of the things that most of us just don't even know about on as far as how these nuclear power plants work. And we're also going to have, later on in the show, Assemblyman Doug LaMoffa is calling. And he's going to talk about the budget. Since last night, the lawmakers hammered out a deal with the governor for our budget. But what's this mean? Reading about it, it's very convoluted. And the bottom line is, how much of our money are they going to take? And speaking about how much money of ours are going to take, the bailout of the financial markets, $500 trillion? Did I read that right?
Billion.
Oh, $500 billion. Okay, it wasn't trillion then. Okay. Oh, half a trillion, $500 billion. So that's going to be something to follow, too. But, you know, first, one of the reasons that I like having Richard on in is when we start talking about energy independence, that how can we be energy independent unless we use all the sources to gain energy? I am a true advocate of solar and of wind, of water, but I'm also an advocate of nuclear power because, from what I understand, 90% of when a plant's online, of that plant's output becomes energy that we can use. We're going to talk about that. Linda, you were at a meeting yesterday in Sacramento.
That was cool.
And you heard Robert Kennedy Jr.
I heard Karl Rove talking numbers and politics and Robert Kennedy Jr. speaking on this very subject because his life's work is about environmental studies and advocating any way he can. He was a phenomenal speaker, but in such that he was talking about how archaic the grids are in America. So if right now, if you were to take a wind from, let's say, the middle of Texas and it were at this time to go to the grid for energy or for power, it could reach South Texas.
That's pretty true.
Yeah, because so right now you've got the energy out there, but you don't have a way of getting it around the country. And that's one of the things people need to also understand is, you know, you see T. Boone's Pickens ideas on the wind generators in the center of the country because of the amount of wind that's there. Great idea. There is a tremendous amount of the wind blowing there. The question is how do you get that power from the center of the country to, say, New York? Or even in California, how many thousands of miles of grid lines are you going to have to build just to be able to move that power around?
Well, we have to come together as a nation, I would think, and realize that we might be uncomfortable for a little while, like we are with our roads here in Reading, knowing that we are building the infrastructure for the future. And one of the things that he said that really hit home for me, and I'm sure you might agree with this, is that if his uncle, in his time of office, could rally the nation to put a man on the moon in less than 7 years, how can we not come together and do the infrastructure at our...
Well, you're exactly right, but here's the point. Come together. Now, that's our problem. We are so divided at this time, this country, that we spend so much time, you know, saying nasty things about each other's parties or about each other's candidates. How can and causing such ill feelings, because everybody now has got, you know, bones to pick. You know, they did this, they did that. I mean, this is both sides, people. As far as I'm concerned, both sides, have earned their mudslinging spurs. But it even goes down to our blogs. I mean, sometimes I actually see some things that are written that, you know, well thought out arguments. People go back and forth, but then it degenerates down into, you know, you troll, you piece of slime, you this. I mean, it's just like we've got a microcosm here in Reading. So to be able to pull the country together, you've got to kind of like get above this stuff, because it is going to take our efforts.
Okay, well, let me just say one more thing, and that is that the staggering numbers that I heard yesterday of the trillions of dollars that are going from our country to foreign countries that are supplying us with oil, that hate us, that want to destroy us, and we're giving them our power so that we aren't there. We're giving power away that way. So it's one. That's how come we need to fight as a country. Whoever's president, Democrat, Republican, we as a nation, as a people, need to come together and demand from that presidency that we want to become oil-free dependent.
And so, and it's not, and we can't do that overnight. It's going to take years to do that. Our economy is based on that. But what we can start doing is cutting way back. Right now, the price of oil is down to under $90 a barrel. Now, how did that happen? Part of it is that we said, hey, we're going to drill offshore. And all the speculators start dumping oil, or start dumping their futures in it. And also, the other thing is that we cut back, because you just had to. But still, the price of gas is still $3.65 a gallon here in town. And let me tell you, the worst thing that could happen right now is for oil to go down to $50 a barrel. I mean, I hate to say this. Yes, we need to bring the price of gas down. But if we don't keep people focused on this, and the idea that we are sending billions and billions and billions of dollars to the Middle East and to other places that are not our buddies, you know, we have got to get focused on this. Now, this leads me to what's happened is that Nancy Pelosi said, we're not going to even vote on drilling offshore. The outpouring of people screaming about this was so much, you know, that the Democrats who are running for re-election, you know, people are standing on their chest and saying, we need to do something about this. So now Pelosi says when they come back in to a session, they're going to vote on this. And by the way, can you imagine that they left this Congress, who's got like a 12 or a 10% approval rating, leaves for the summer? Well, the rest of us are up to our butt in problems. They leave for the summer. And they're so busy poking fingers at each other saying, oh, it's not my fault. Oh, no, it's their fault. Guess what, people? It's all of y'all's fault. All of you should be replaced if you can't start working together. Okay. But now they're going to vote for the offshore drilling. But what does that mean? You know, and again, I know what I read. I really try not to take any information off, you know, blogs, right or left. I try to get into the facts here. But they want to be able to drill at 100 miles offshore. You know how deep the water is out there? 100 miles offshore. The other thing, too, is that they figure it's going to be safe, because as soon as it happens, the environmentalists are going to jump right into this, and they're going to start throwing lawsuits out. So What do you got there? It's just a know-nothing vote, or a means-nothing vote. Anyway, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to a number of other things here, but first we're going to have to take a break. This is Carl Bott at Free Fire Saturday Radio here on 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402, and the phone lines are starting to light up. See you on the other side. Okay, let's go to the phones. Ron, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Hey, just heard your comment about Congress going home, and this reminds me or brings me to the subject that we are in the midst of looking for and electing a city councilman. And one of the issues that's been coming up in the last few years is, as a good friend of mine says, hold their feet to the fire after they're elected. And here we are again in Reading. I think you know, we can vote for Herger if we want to, or we can call Herger as far as the national politics are concerned. But locally, our people have a chance right now to really get involved and get and make their voices known. Because to a lesser degree, we're spending a lot of money in Reading that is going to be passed on one way or another down to the taxpayer. And the council in the past has been spending some money in a way that not all the people agree with. And I think right now our citizens owe it to themselves and to the fellow citizens around them to meet with these candidates and ask them the hard questions. And I just wanted to kind of bring it down to our level, that we have a chance now to be instrumental in who we choose and whom we choose to be on the council, to ask them the questions before they're elected, and then once those people are elected, we should in turn hold them accountable.
You're absolutely right. I mean, that's the whole idea, is that, you know, you want to tell me something, okay, you want to tell me something, then you better be doing it. And, you know, don't be telling me you're going to do one thing and doing the other. Now, understand is now is that Channel 11 is going to have the candidates on TV, and they're going to be answering questions. That's going to be in October, mid-October. And as soon as I get some more information about that, I'll put it out. But essentially, you're going to be able to see your candidates that are there, you know, that are running for city council, talk a little bit about themselves, but then also answer questions from a panel of people right here in Reading.
That's right. And I think we have to bring it down to the local level. I agree with you that for Congress to take off like this in the situation we're in, although I understand some of them are meeting this week to resolve this or at least have this financial issue presented.
Yes.
But it still doesn't make sense. And I know I've called Herger's office a couple of times and said, what's going on? And I do get a response, but it's usually, well, you know, it's his time to take a break. And I think everybody should take a vacation. That's not the issue. The issue is we've got some hot issues on the table right now.
Well, excuse me, but if my business is in deep trouble, I would not be taking a vacation. I'd be doing everything I could to fix it. And I think that the business that Congress is conducting is in trouble if we're having to spend that much money.
That's for sure.
So, you know, that's the thing is, yes, you're right. You know, people do need a vacation, but come on. This is going just a little bit too far.
Okay, anyway. Enjoy your show.
Hey, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Okay, look, Richard.
Yes, sir.
Let's start talking a bit about nukes here.
Okay.
Some of the things we talked about was one of the ones that we were going to one of the points we were trying to make last time was where do they store the nuclear rods since we can't recycle them and we can't take them out to Yucca Mountain? Where do they go to? Where's all the leftovers go?
What we've experienced in the nuclear power field, because the environmentalists primarily have restricted us from being able to use Yucca Mountain to permanently store the spent fuel rods. There are 100 plus units in the United States, and for the most part, they store it on site. And what that means is there may be some plants that are out in the middle of nowhere, but there are a lot of plants that are next to populated areas. Not that it's unsafe, it's just that it's temporary. So for all these years, there has been temporary storage of spent fuel rods on site at all these multiple nuclear power plants.
So people that don't want it in Yucca Valley might have them within 30 miles of them, huh?
Right, that's exactly right.
That's kind of interesting. So if anybody is noticing that you know, if you've been fighting against moving those spill rods, you may want to take a look over your shoulder there and see where they're at. You say, though, that they're safe. You know, everybody talks about the half-life and how dangerous this is.
Primarily for real short-term storage, one of the best, and there's a term that's thrown out there called time, distance, and shielding as far as humans go. It's not hazardous if you shield yourself. It's not hazardous if you only are exposed for a very, very short period of time, and it's only hazardous that as far as the decay rate and how much there is and what the shielding is, you can put something between you. One of the best shielding materials out there is just water. So what most power plants or all power plants have is what they call a spent fuel pool. In the short term, what they do is they transfer the rods from the reactor that are used and unable to use again, and they put them in what's called a spent fuel pool. And think of it as a very big swimming pool that's, you know, 30, 40 feet deep, and they're temporarily stored there until that becomes relatively full. Then they're moved into dry storage cask storage inside concrete buildings on site.
Wow. Okay. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Colonel. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I just wanted to make a comment about politics and politicians. There's an email floating around that I've had the opportunity to review, and it deals with the 9/11 Patriots Day ceremonies in Shasta Lake. And it just so happens, Colonel, that your picture is on there, and there's a very nice article about your presentation and speech at that ceremony. We talk about politicians giving lip service to all of us. We all know how politics works. You speak to a particular group, and you address their needs and their desires and their wants, and then you speak to another group, and you can absolutely flip-flop because you're catering to that particular group so you can get their vote. Well, this article talks about the fact that you gave such an electrifying speech that the writer made these very words in this article. He said, "Before us stood Bot, as the very essence of what America needs now more than ever, an inspiring leader who understands and can lead the recently latent spirit of true American patriotism."
You know what? I really appreciate you doing this, sir. But for me to speak at 9/11 or any place in this state or in this county, in this city, for veterans is an honor to me. It's such an honor that I would never pass it up, and when you speak about things that you believe in, you know, that's where, you know, I think people sense the passion and the sincerity, because this is how they feel. This is what they want. I so much appreciate your words here. But again, I just say what I feel on things about our veterans, about our heroes in this country.
Colonel, that's my point. Well, the point is you speak from your heart. You're sincere. You're a man of word. You're a man of action. You're a straight talker. That's what we need in politics these days. I really have suggested to many people over a course of many months, because I've heard you speak before, I've attended events where you've spoken before, you are the type of individual that we need in political office. And I have made this comment to people that this man should run for office. I'm going to say it on the air so that the listening audience can hear. I'm going to say it for purposes of encouraging you to consider that. And I think that's what we need in this country, is people who speak from their hearts, whose actions reflect their words. We all know the saying that actions speak louder than words. You've demonstrated that on many occasions. I've seen it. I've read about you. I know about you. Well, and the final comment I want to make is, I understand that your wife, who I've heard sing at many events, who has a beautiful voice, I understand that she has a concert coming up in town soon, and I wanted to find out when and where that is.
Oh, gosh. October 5th at the Old City Hall. Tickets are on sale at Bernie's Guitar on Bocelli. I hope you come. I'd love to have you in the house.
Yeah, and you know, and who do we write the check to and send it to? Hey, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you so much. You folks have a good day.
Thank you.
Well, The guy said, "We know where you go to from there." Except it's nothing to do with what we're talking about. Except the heroes, you know, the heroes of our state, the heroes that are out there every day. You know, that's what the 9/11 memorial event was about. And I'll just take a second here because we're going to have to take a break. And there's people on the phone line, so please bear with me and stay with us till after the break. But our people from that on 9/11, our first responders, our firemen, policemen, those warriors that are out there on the front lines, those are the heroes. You know, to talk about heroes for me is easy. My whole life in the Marine Corps and the places I've been surrounded by heroes. And so then when you're there, it's easy to talk about them. When you think about those people on 9/11, those firemen, those policemen that were walking up those stairs, they were walking up those stairs, and they knew this wasn't going to be good. And they were heading up those stairs. Did they hesitate? No. Did they say, "I'm sorry, but that's not something I can do today"? No. They shouldered it. They got in there, and they went up there to save their fellow man. And they didn't care who it was. They didn't care what color they were, what religion they were, nothing like that. They went in after them to save them. You know, those are the heroes. You know, me, I talk about them. And I feel for their families. I want people to respect them. I want people to honor our warriors. Anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and then people on the phones, hang on. We'll get to you as soon as we get to the other side here. This is Carl Botta at News Talk 1400 KQMS, 221-1402, Free Fire Radio. Carl Botta, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning there. I hear a lot of people say those spent fuel rods cannot be reused. I understand that, yes, they can be reused. They've found a way to reconstitute them. I don't
recycle them, I think.
Word to use. But anyway, I used to be against power plants, but now I've listened to several people. And one guy I've listened to, his name is Dr. Bill Wattenberg. And he's got a talk show out of San Francisco, of all places, liberal. But anyway, it's on tonight from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And if you want to listen to him, it's 810 on the AM dial.
Okay.
And he's, like I said, he's got a talk show just like you, and he's got a call in, and you can call in and talk to him, and he will explain that in detail. He's a nuclear scientist, and he'll explain that in detail, and he also talks about drilling oil wells and things like that. He's got a very interesting show, and he's got a website, and I don't know the number because I don't have a computer, but anyhow, you ought to listen to that tonight, and any people out there who wants to learn, like I said, 810 on the AM dial.
10 o'clock tonight. Well, you know, thanks a lot, Ron. I appreciate that because, you know, it's one thing to be against something if you understand both sides of it.
Mm-hmm. You'll explain in detail why it's not so bad after all.
Well, that's the thing is to be against something because you're afraid of it and because, you've heard things is not the way to, that's not the way to make decisions. But, hey, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Have a good day. Thank you.
You bet.
We have an expert with us right now, Richard Merriman, who has some wonderful statistics, who's actually been working with power plants and inside of power plants with the highest level 3 clearance, which means that you've been in on the stuff. You have some great stats there. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Okay. Before I share this information, on the previous caller, I would like to add to what Carl was saying is that you, on the website for the USNRC, is one of the excellent places to go for real information. That they're not shy at all. They'll tell you all about accidents that have happened, what happened because of it, and what plans they have in place. I would like to also talk to Carl and Linda about the different types of power generation there is out there and the efficiencies of all these different types. Obviously, we've heard about Seattle, how it rains so much up there, so solar may not be the best answer for a place like Seattle, but it might be an excellent for Redding. What you need to do, and I do believe we need to do all, we have to drill, we have to do solar, we have to do wind, hydro. In Scandinavian countries, they're doing quite a bit with tidal energy, not just wave, but going deeper into the ocean using tidal forces to generate electric power. So as
I understand, that's been around. Wave generation and tidal has been around a long time,
The wave generation has, but what they've discovered, I'm a car guy, too, is it all comes down to torque, and what they've discovered is, as you go deeper in the ocean into tidal forces, that the torque that generates from the tidal forces rather than just the wave forces at the top, they have the ability to generate much more power.
So when we start talking about power, I know that nuclear is like 90% of the power from the plant goes into energy.
Yeah, the best way to look at it is the efficiency. For every day that a nuclear plant is there, 90% of the time it's generating power that goes on the grid. If you look at something like coal, which is the next highest, these are national standards, is 73% efficient. In other words, for every day that it's physically there, it is only generating power that goes on the grid 73% of the time.
What's the worst?
Surprisingly, the worst is solar. But it sounds surprising, but if you really think about it, solar doesn't work too good at night. So obviously, those hours are out of the question.
Right. As soon as it gets dark, that doesn't count. And then if it's a cloudy day.
If it's a real cloudy day, it might generate a slight amount of power.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems you have with anything that only generates a small amount of power, you talked about the national grid earlier, is that you do lose power on the grid when you try to transmit it over long distances.
Right.
So you take something that's barely putting power on the grid in the first place and then try to move it a long distance. There's nothing left by the time it gets there.
Well, I want to get to this real quick before we take the break, because we've got a lot of people on the lines here, and plus we have Assemblyman LaMalfa calling. How to take care of the North State's power if we had a nuclear generating plant up here, nuclear power generating plant, how big a footprint would that be to take care of, say, Reading all the way up to the border?
In my estimation, this is obviously just a guess on my part, is that the size of the unit itself, that the reactor side of the unit, might only be a half a block to a block as far as the footprint on the Earth. The plant itself may have, say, 2 acres, because you have administrative, you have security, you have other offices that might occupy the same space. As an example, like the USS Enterprise has 8 reactors, 4 power units. They only use 1 reactor or 1 power unit for average day-to-day operations as far as propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
They use 1 power unit for ship steam, for launching catapults and for cooking, that type of thing. But they have 4 power units and 8 reactors, then that would easily power a lot. I hate to give out too much information as far as how much power output it has, but the North State would be looking pretty good if she had the Enterprise.
Yeah. I just think, I wonder if we've got like 10 acres out here that we could put a plant in, and that jobs and power that would be like for almost free. I'm just thinking of all those little things that could happen. The problem is that people don't like nuclear power plants. Not in my backyard, and yet we're going to have to look at everything, people. We're going to have to take a quick break here. Here's News Talk 1400 KQMS. People on the phone lines, we're going to get to you right after this break. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Let's go to the phone lines. Norm, good morning. Good morning, Norm.
Yes, I wrote a letter to Wally Herger, to Barbara Feinstein, and to Barbara Boxer. I emailed it to them, and the reply I got back from Wally Herger was fair. The reply I got back from Diane Feinstein was a little over the top. But the one from Barbara Boxer, if everybody could read her letter, they'd throw their hands up and they'd realize just what this country's come to with people like her in office. We need to vote people like that out completely and start over.
Well, there's a lot of people that think about, agree with you 100%, Norm. We've got to hold our representatives' feet to the fire.
And we do, especially people like her.
Well, I tell you what, I know it's all of them. It's all of them.
I know. I realize that. It's the Democrats and the Republicans and all of them, but especially people like her. I mean, she wants nothing to do at all with anything. I mean, we don't care about how much gas you people want. We're going to give you what we think you need.
Oh, well, it's a free market society here, Senator. So, hey, Norm, thank you so much for your phone call.
You bet. Have a good day.
You bet. Paul, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Carl, Linda, and your guests.
Good morning, Norm.
Richard.
Good morning, thank you.
Yeah, say, we live in an area that is volcanic mountain ranges. There's Mount Helena, Mount Shasta, Mount Lassen, and I wonder if it's possible to harness power.
Thermal energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There are plants currently operating that use geothermal power.
That's a great idea.
We're taking a tour over Mount Lassen.
It's not utilizing the actual volcano at the mountain. They've identified thinner areas in the crust where it generates, because if you think of the aquifers, the water that are running under the soil, what they've identified is places where, because of the volcanic activity of the past, that there's natural steam production. What they do is they capture that steam and use it to turn turbines and generate electrical power.
Say, one of your callers called in about Dr. Wattenberg on KGO, San
right.
Francisco. By the way, he's an outstanding scientist, and he had something to do with that Manhattan Project with the atomic bomb.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for the call.
Well, hey, thank you for calling.
You bet.
Okay. That's a good thing. You know, hey, we got Lassen, we've got mm-hmm. all that, you know, geothermal. Why don't we use something like that?
Right, and geothermal is a good example of good production, but again, you can only build it where there's geothermal
that's
energy.
That's right. Okay, here's my last question here, and it's China Syndrome movie. Came out right after, I think, Chernobyl, right before Chernobyl or something like that?
Right before TMI.
Oh, right before TMI.
Three Mile Island.
Okay. How much of that was real?
Relatively none. The depiction of the movie of how the plant layout was, I don't know for those that can remember the scenes, at the very end
they go to Jane Fonda movies.
Yeah, our favorite gal. They depict people leaving the site through roll-up doors from the containment building. The containment buildings are very, very thick. They got pressurized doors, two doors you have to actually cycle to get through. It's so just how the plant is laid out is incorrect, and what's also incorrect is in nuclear power generation we use 235, which is not an explosive radioactive compound. If you think of the centrifuge tubes we keep hearing about Iran, what they are doing is they're taking radioactive material like that and separating out the plutonium from that, mm-hmm. and then you could build bombs from that. The power that we use, or the radioactive material we use to generate electric power, is not explosive. You cannot make bombs with that material.
Okay. You can make, I guess you could use it, though, as part of it, put it around explosives, or make like a dirty bomb
can also do that if you stole a x-ray machine from your local dentist.
Oh. You know, that's not even, you know what, they're even doing, I'm not going to go there.
Right.
Okay, hey, Richard, thanks a lot for, you know, for your comments and being here. Now, as I said earlier, we're going to have Assemblyman Doug Lamoff was called in, and he was going to talk about the budget. I think it's going to be really interesting to hear from Doug what's going on up there. Assemblyman Lamoff, good morning.
Morning, Carl. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Anytime I wake up and I'm, you know, I'm vertical, I'm fine.
Good morning, Doug.
Morning, Linda. How are you?
Saw you yesterday at Perspectives in Sacramento. You get around, don't you?
Like the Beach Boys.
Hey, what'd you think of the speeches yesterday?
Well, I liked Karl Rove a lot. I had a little more difficult time with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but, you know, they're always interesting. And then Cal Thomas and the other fellow, Beckel, that's an interesting perspective on the...
That's a hardcore
down the middle a little bit there.
Yeah, that's a hardcore Republican, hardcore Democrat saying, hey, we do have spots in the middle we can talk about.
Well, it's kind of like the state budget, you know. We know going in ahead of time that both sides are going to agree on about 80-85% of it, and it's down to how are we going to parse out the last 15 or 20, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's what's frustrating about a year like this, is we could be when we got really late, we could have been doing things like the temporary spending resolution to get bills paid that people are expecting, and not hold them hostage in the crossfire we have going on.
So why didn't that happen?
Bottom line is the Dems didn't want to do it that way. Republicans kept bringing that up as an option to, again, you know, get people's bills paid, get their Medi-Cal reimbursements done so that innocent Californians aren't being subject to waiting for us to hash out how we're going to do it. So I guess they were being used as leverage to perhaps bring us to the table and give in on a sales tax increase or some other.
Yeah. Hey, Hey, Doug, I've got to take a quick break here, and then right after this break, I want you to kind of get into the the meat of it about High Point's, what's it going to cost us on the bottom line, if you don't mind hanging on just for a minute.
Sure.
Okay. This is Carl Bott, Free Fire Radio here on 1400 KQMS. Phone lines are 221-1402. It's Simon and Doug Lamoff is our guest right now, and he's talking about the budget. Join us on the other side. Hey, good morning. This is Carl Bott, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Doug.
Hey, Carl. I guess you don't have any choice over playing global warming ads during your show, huh?
No, that's not. That's a radio station thing. It's not on my watch.
Can't imagine.
In fact, I've got commercials on here that usually it's the ones it's Linda and I talk about. You know, you hear our voices on it. Those are our sponsors, and those are the ones that we know we trust, and those are the ones that I vouch for. I don't know if you don't hear that. I don't vouch for him.
I like a guy that will have ads for gun sites on his radio show.
Hey, Trigicon, that's right, Trigicon. You know, national. Okay.
I got those myself, so go ahead.
Okay, now tell us the high points of the, or the low points of the budget now.
Well, it's a mixture, obviously, but what happened here this week since our marathon budget session Monday night into Tuesday morning, kind of came out of there, everybody thinking that the budget was done, and it wasn't good, but nonetheless, for about 12 hours, people thought, well, it's over with, we move on. And then the governor came up with, he was going to veto it unless some changes were made, and that kind of gave us another opportunity to do things a little bit better in the budget, and I commend him for taking that stand, because it wasn't anything to be proud of. So what it finally boiled down to later in the week was hammering out a couple revisions to it that made it a little bit better. You know, it wasn't a dramatic change, and at this point, if you do a whole lot more, then you're going to get legislators from one side or the other, depending which way you go,
yeah,
falling off pretty rapidly. It's kind of like a slide rule. You move it this way, and you get a lot less support from the left, and you move it the other way, and the Republicans start dropping off. So
is this going to cost us money? More money, I should say?
Well, they always do. I mean, the growth in spending this year is about another 1%.
Okay.
Which, you know, the budget seems to grow every year. What the problem has been, it's been growing much more rapidly than that. And it's, about 44% over the last 5 years.
Wow. It's grown 44% in the last 5 years?
Yes.
Thank you, Sacramento. Okay, where's that money coming from?
Yet the income has grown to the state about 40%.
Okay, so income in the state's 40. So it's a 4% growth then?
No, I mean, it's grown 4% faster than the new money we're bringing in.
Yeah.
So if you're
right,
if you got a raise of $20,000 per year, but you're spending $22,000 more, you can see that
doesn't work.
That it doesn't work in the numbers you need to stay within. So the state has actually been outspending its new income, not just current. So what we have going on is the governor demanded some changes. It kind of held up the ultimate signing of the budget until a few more days. We were done Tuesday night. Instead, he will probably sign it now this Monday. So what the revisions made yesterday, and there were some good ones, was to, one of the key aspects was creating a rainy day fund. I like to call it a drought fund, or a reserve that can only be accessed by the legislature when there's a true fiscal crisis. And so it was a little loose as passed earlier this week, and that's been tightened up so that there's a stronger criteria for when the legislature can actually tap into it than not any old excuse for what the legislature can call an emergency would work. It has to actually meet certain performances. The economy has to be down a certain percent, and actual state revenue has to be down below a certain performance level of the previous year. Then, after that occurs, it can kick in. That money can then be accessed, used to balance out a shortness in the budget so that you have a kind of an evening effect. It evens out the overall, some of the highs and lows you have in the economy without us having to do something drastic like, either facing tax increases or cutting things that people are expecting. You know, again, the Medi-Cal has been a really big hot issue with hospitals and doctors and clinics getting their reimbursements for the work they perform, they get those reimbursements cut. As well, our sheriffs, our law enforcement are always on the bubble with seeing some of their funds cut, or local government, or highway funds. Those are things people want to see get done, and those are always the first things to get lopped off when the state runs short.
Well, okay. Well, I tell you what, Assemblyman, this is... It sounds like this is quite the this evolution every year just gets more convoluted. And one of the things that Schwarzenegger said, and you know, and someday I'd like to address this with you, is how he says they have a lot of, you know, really radicals from both sides that get elected, and they don't want to work with each other. So,
well, I might be considered a radical because I'm conservative, but I don't know what's radical about allowing people to keep their own money and not have the government continue to grow every year.
It wasn't that he was speaking about. He was speaking, I think, mainly, he said that there's some, you know, some people from both sides, they just don't want to work with each other at all. It doesn't make any difference if it's for the good of the state or the good of the people.
Well, we have to work together, and we have a lot of friends on the other side of the aisle. We are friends. We disagree on issues, but we can certainly talk to each other. And
well, that's important.
You know, it's... pretty simple, but let me talk about something real quick before we run out.
Okay, I have got like about 1 minute, and that means about 30 seconds. So, go.
Okay, the other thing that was fixed yesterday that people probably heard a lot about was an additional 10% withholding on people's wages. Basically, the state's saying, we want to take another 10% out of your check so we can use it until the end of the year when we then refund it to you.
Uh-huh.
And so, in order to improve the state's cash flow, it was going to take from wage earners and hurt their cash flow, unless people instead went out and contorted themselves and thought of more deductions.
So what happened?
Pushing the line ethically. So basically the state is forcing people to either be a little more short of money or stretching the edge of their...
So is that going to happen?
That was knocked out. We took that
out in
the second trailer bill yesterday. Unfortunately, it was replaced with a higher penalty on employers that owe more taxes than what they estimate, but...
Hey, Doug, I'm right now at a hard break getting ready to end, but can I get you back on the show perhaps Tuesday or Wednesday of this week and we talk a little bit more about this?
Give me a call and we'll be glad to sit down with you. And
great.
Okay?
Hey, thanks so much for your phone call.
You're welcome.
Okay, hey, look, we're going to have some of them off on later on this week. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? Join me on Tuesday.